If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the mystery voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew.
Hello, Richard. Now, it's fair to say, normally I come up with these names for you, these little epithets. This week, you've just said, I'm the mystery voice of goalkeeping, and it is indeed a mystery. I've got no idea what you're talking about.
You haven't, and it was something I didn't tell you about, actually, and probably should have. I think you'd have found it quite interesting, but I was a guest on TalkSport the other night, and I was the mystery guest. They had to guess who I was, asking me questions, and I could only give yes or no answers.
Who were the people guessing?
So thankfully, it was Mickey Gray was one of them. And Mickey Gray was actually a teammate of mine back in the day. So although, because I was a little bit worried, that I was thinking they could be guessing all night. And could you imagine how embarrassing it would be if they had no idea who I was? But the fact that Mickey Gray was a teammate of mine, he actually recognized my voice, believe it or not. Had nothing to do with the questions.
Who else was on there? Mickey Gray and who?
It's a great question. And now I feel bad because I can't think of who the actual presenter was.
We should do a mystery guest to see if you can figure it out.
You know what? I know, because I've done a show with him and I can't think what his name was. But yeah, for some reason, it's escaped me.
Okay, well, that is by the by. Mm. I don't want to offend you here, mate, but you're quite right in the sense that you stopped playing when? 26
years ago. So it must have been whatever that is.
2015.
Yes.
So 2015, you stopped playing. Mm. You played in the Premier League for a bit with Watford, but it's fair to say you're not a household name.
No.
So it's strange for them to ask for you to be a mystery guest. Like you say, if it hadn't have been Mickey Gray, it could have gone on for quite a while. It could have been a bit awkward.
Could have been really awkward. And even when they did the big reveal, could you imagine? So no, I was so thankful. But then I was actually thinking it could have been worse, the fact that it was Mickey Gray. Could you imagine a teammate of mine for a year, and even if they'd have done the big reveal, he didn't actually know who I was. So I was so thankful that he got me. Do you know what his comment was?
Go on.
He goes, "Ah, don't worry, I recognise that voice. There's only a few men that have got a voice deeper than Barry White."
Really?
Which I took as quite the compliment.
You're his first, you're his last.
You're his everything. Horrendous.
Unbelievable. Okay, that's a measure of the show today, which is going to be quite quick because we've had a bit of shambles. I've got no equipment with me. It's all a bit of a horror show, but we are going to whiz through this one because there are games today as well. There are games in a couple of hours.
There are. Do you want to tell the story as to what actually happened? And I mean, we can touch on this or not. The fact that your laptop isn't really working and there's a reason for it.
I'm just MacBookless at the moment. Yeah, there are some quite treacherous stairs outside where...
Regular stairs. Yeah. Regular stairs that you've tripped up and managed to smash your MacBook.
Anyway, we'll move on quickly, shall we? So we are going to reflect on the Premier League and the EFL action over the course of the past few days. Of course, it is still the Easter holidays, so there is a massive complement of games today. And then, of course, it's European Football Week as well. So on Thursday, we're going to do a longer, bigger pod where we chuck in all the franchises and do all the good stuff. Okay, Richard?
Sounds good to me.
Clean sheet club will wait till then too.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, if you want to get in touch with us, hello at goalkeepersunion.net or on our number 07503673020. But not Twitter yet because we've still not been let back in.
No, you've been begging, you've been praying, you've been pleading, but to no avail as yet.
Yeah, so if you've noticed the lack of interaction on Twitter, that is why. So hopefully, we'll be back soon. On with the show.
Let's do it.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Not a whole lot to talk about in the Premier League, but we're going to start with a goalkeeper assist because we love goalkeeper assists. Sam Johnston with a delightfully clipped assist for Matheus Pereira, West Brom beating Chelsea at the weekend.
Indeed, and it was a beautiful strike. The ball came back to him, and do you know what I quite like was the way in which he, kind of like a golf swing. It's a bit of a cliche where people say like the harder you swing, the less distance you get at times. And it was this, it was such an easy swing, such an easy strike of the ball, but it was the trajectory that he got. He caught it absolutely perfectly. Now, I was thinking about how to comment on this because do I think that he was trying to play the striker through? I'm not sure, but I don't want to do Sam a misjustice here because there is every chance that he was trying to play the striker in. But my gut says that he may well just have been trying to get a really good connection and he got the perfect connection. I don't know what your thoughts are on this.
I don't think stats lie, Richard.
So you think it's simply a fantastic through ball and a fantastic assist?
It's an assist and we will chalk it up.
Well, it is the first assist of any West Brom goalkeeper in the Premier League.
There we go.
There's a little stat for you.
Nice.
Yes, I saw that when I was watching the game, and I thought, oh, that's nice. I'll mention that. But John, I have to ask Sam himself, did he mean it? But absolutely 100%, you have to claim it. That's one of them where people will ask you afterwards when a cross goes into the far corner. For instance, Ronaldinho against David Seaman, and you get asked, did you mean it or not? And they always claim it. So I think if you're a goalkeeper and you have a moment like that, you absolutely have to claim that you meant it.
One of your favourite references, that, isn't it? Ronaldinho, David Seaman. I know. Well, no, funnily enough as well, it's always the thing that you say we shouldn't remember him for, but you talk about it quite a lot.
Maybe I'm the reason. Maybe I'm the reason that people remember him for that. So, David Seaman, I apologise.
To just quickly be serious, if we can, I don't think he meant it. Of course, he didn't mean to set Matheus Pereira on that path to then delightfully lob it over Edouard Mendy. However, he was obviously aiming for that area. The execution was what he wanted to do, but the parting of the Red Sea in the Chelsea defence, I don't think he accounted for. Turned out he was quite lucky.
Yeah, let's go with that. Works for me.
Alisson also very nearly had an assist as well for Mo Salah right at the end of Liverpool's win at Arsenal. It didn't end up in a goal. So can we talk about his look instead? That rather furry upper lip he now has.
I think we can. I think we're kind of going off topic slightly, given this podcast is meant to be very much evaluating goalkeepers. But maybe that is part of the evaluation process, that we also look at the look, because the look does play a part in the performance. I think that's fair to say. You know, we talk a lot about body language, but of course, how you present yourself. Actually, I'm going to make a half decent point here, I think, because this thing could date back to David De Gea when he first came to England, and there was a lot of comment about the fact that he was wearing baggy shirts and he looked quite young and he was getting targeted on crosses.
Fluffy
and it
hair.
There you go. And actually, you think of what David De Gea looked like then and how he's then changed his look throughout the years. So a big change like this is actually something I think that is worth touching on. I don't know what you think about the, I mean, is it the full handlebars he's gone for?
No, he's gone, it's quite heavy, isn't it? It's not full handlebars, it's just teetering on the edge of going on a handlebar tash. But you make a valid point, and we always reference Dean Carley and the fact that he would alter his image sometimes depending on who he was playing against. Alisson, fair to say, in recent months hasn't been the goalkeeper that we've seen in the past couple of years. So maybe it's something, I haven't seen anything written about this, I haven't heard any comments from Alisson, but maybe it was something that he looked at and thought, I'm just going to make a change. And actually, this might impact the strikers. It might impact Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who also had a rather distinctive look as well. He'd done something with his hair, hadn't he? But it might make a difference to the Arsenal attackers, where they look and go, crikey, what is that?
What a fine gentleman. Yeah.
But he was smiling as well. And at the end of the game, when he delivered that assist, he was smiling because obviously he nearly chalked that one up. But it looked like there was a bit more authority, a bit more presence back in Alisson's game.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And it has to be said, an excellent clean sheet. Big win for Liverpool.
Absolutely. Aaron Ramsdale, Sheffield United losing at home to Leeds United. But again, that Ramsdale spread coming out on a couple of occasions.
One of the things I'll say about Aaron Ramsdale is that he is incredibly brave. You know, and you look at a lot of the saves that he's made this season, he's not scared to engage and really throws himself in. And I really like this save because I think a lot of keepers would have stayed back and made this a shot. But the speed at which he was able to engage made this a one-on-one, and he got so close in the end. That was the reason he was able to make the save. Brave in his spread. And I think it was just that pure pace. You know, it's not something we talk about when it comes to goalkeeping all that often. But of course, the speed off the mark when you are looking to engage in a one-on-one, it is that 10-yard sprint. And it's something that a lot of goalkeepers will work on. How quickly can you get to the ball? Can you get yourself to within a yard, which he did, and made himself incredibly big. And the save was perfect. You know, the fact that it came off almost his thigh and then round the post. Brilliant save. Just went round the post. Obviously, unfortunately, in the end, was to no avail with the result. But certainly that save and a couple of other moments in the game I thought were very impressive.
Southampton bouncing back, fighting back to beat Burnley on their own patch, going down 2-0 initially and then fighting back to win 3-2. Let's talk about the penalty. Chris Wood, no goalkeeper in the world is saving that, mate. Straight down the middle. Bosh, Troy Deeney-esque.
But you know what I'm going to say? Because there was a goalkeeper in the world that saved a penalty such as this Easter weekend. And of course, that was Freddie Woodman, who we are going to touch on, so I can dispel that ridiculous comment. But that was, again, a penalty that we're seeing so often now, that strike down the middle. Ideally, they don't want it to be on the ground. They want it to be mid-height, ideally top of the net if they can. And then if a goalkeeper dives, there's absolutely nothing you can do.
Fraser Forster, pretty good game in this one. Nick Pope, pretty good game too. The second goal, however, from Burnley, the Matej Vidra goal. The commentators said absolutely no chance for Forster. What do you think?
It's an interesting one. I think I quite like the fact that the commentators haven't drawn attention to it. I think this is one where we've all conceded this goal, where you're taking an advanced position from a long ball that comes over. And then when the ball breaks, you're still in quite an advanced position. Actually, now that I think about it, there is one that I remember myself against Wolves many years ago, and I remember it because it was Hennessy in goal, and he played a long ball forward, and I was still in quite an advanced position, and the ball breaks, and you're still 6-7 yards out, and it was a shot from distance, and from memory, I think it went over me and went into the corner, but it was because I was out of position from the ball coming forward. So I think it's difficult to blame Fraser Forster here, because I think the play escalates that quickly that sometimes you're just not able to drop to get the position that you want to take. Because ordinarily, a shot from there, I'd argue that 2 yards off your line is perfect. Give yourself a little bit more reaction time and maybe be able to get a dive away. Because in the end, he was that far advanced that he was only able to throw a foot at it and wasn't able to get any contact on the ball, and the ball beats him. And you could argue that it wasn't right in the corner, but it is the fact that the play escalates so quickly from defence to attack that, of course, getting that correct position isn't always that easy.
Just a word on Nick Pope. Like I said, a couple of good saves in that one. Unfortunate with the winner from Nathan Redmond. Made a great save from Danny Ings, the shot, but then came back in from Theo Walcott, and Redmond put it in. But let's talk about England just very quickly, because we haven't had a chance to actually recap on the England games properly and the fact that Nick Pope played them both. He looked pretty solid to me. Comfortable wins really for England. I know that they struggled slightly against Poland, but after the game he was the subject of a bit of criticism for the Polish goal. Can I get your thoughts on this, please?
Just mental. I just, for the life of me, I can't understand. There has to be an agenda there. It's as simple as that, because look, he's played it out, played it to Stones. Did he connect with the pass perfectly? No, but the area he's put it into was absolutely perfect, because it was the correct side of Stones. Stones gets there. He's either got the option of playing it back, making an angle to go again, or he has plenty of time if he gets there a bit quicker to turn and play forward. And it's really poor play from John Stones, unfortunately, and that results in the goal. So to label any blame on Nick Pope there for me is just ridiculous. But as you say, I know there were a few people that did question that moment.
It's just that narrative, isn't it, of the England goalkeeper. The pundits, yeah, were saying that, I don't know which pundit it was, but I heard it actually in the background saying, you know, he was given an opportunity in these two games, and you could say now he's not really taken that. What are you talking
faultless.
About? I think
faultless.
Gareth Southgate might have said that it wasn't the best pass out from Nick Pope, and I was listening to some of the phone-ins on my way home after the game, and there was one guy who was like, yeah, no, it's quite obvious now. I mean, Jordan Pickford, he's obviously going to be back in for the next games. He will be the England goalkeeper. So it's amazing, isn't it? Without even playing, and all the criticism that was levelled at Jordan Pickford prior to this round of games, suddenly this one small incident that he's not really at fault for, Nick Pope, Jordan Pickford, has to be the England number one.
Yeah. And that's it. And that's why I use the word agenda, because I can't help but feel that if that's what they wanted to create, then of course this could create that. But you're clutching at straws, really. I mean, if you wanted to solidify that, because that is going to be a big talking point, of course, when you've got the likes of Dean Henderson doing well now as well, and of course Nick Pope absolutely flying for as long as he has and putting so much pressure on Jordan Pickford. If you want to just make it known that Jordan Pickford is your number one and just create that little bit of breathing space for him so he can relax going into the tournament, Maybe it's that. But again, I'm speculating here and I'm just guessing here. But for me, I do think it's incredibly harsh that any negativity could have gone towards Nick Pope for that, or any of his performances, to be honest. I mean, what is it? One goal conceded in six games. You know, near enough faultless. I thought he did everything asked of him.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Right, it's time for a quick one. It is the Championship rundown, and we are going to start at the Den. Richard, Millwall beating Rotherham. Bart Bielkowski with one heck of a right hand to get down low and keep out Michael Ahikwe in the first half. Bart Bielkowski with one heck of a right hand to save a penalty with a top hand in the second half.
Indeed, quite an inspired performance. And this was not necessarily a vital result for Millwall, but certainly this was a big defeat for Rotherham. And no doubt they'll be cursing Bielkowski for this one because, yeah, the save down to, well, in fact, both saves, but certainly the penalty save we'll touch on. Full stretch, does brilliantly, shows great athleticism to get himself down there. And managed to have, it's a bit of a cliche, the strong hand, but managed to claw it out almost to an extent. I thought it was an excellent save.
I think I said it was a top hand save, didn't I? I was wrong. It was a bottom hand save, wasn't
it? Was
it?
A bottom
it's because
hand save.
There were a couple of other top hand saves in the EFL.
That are about to come.
But before that, Marco Morosi, a string of fine saves for Coventry. Back in for Ben Wilson against QPR. He made three very good saves, but he did also concede late on from Elias Chair. 3-0 defeat.
Yeah, he was certainly very busy. I think that it's always tough to take the positives when you have one that squirms through you in the way that it did, and the fact that they obviously lost the game 3-0. But interestingly, I did have a quick look, more out of curiosity really than anything, as to what ratings he was given in the papers. And in fairness, most papers did give him sixes and sevens, so they didn't come down too hard on him for that mistake. But it was one of those classic ones where he'd gone down for a pickup, but it was just outside the line. So look, easy to say in hindsight, but had he done a collapse dive down to his left, that would have made more sense in this situation. Whereas it was that horrible one where you feel your hands going further and further away, and sometimes it just happens. The ball moves on you and all of a sudden you're going for the scoop and you're moving further and further outside the line. You've got absolutely no protection, and unfortunately it did just squirm through and go in the corner.
Bit of a hokey-cokey goalkeeper scenario.
It is, and it's, we've spoke about this before, and it's one for me that I don't think often leads to much positivity. Look, I understand that from time to time you're going to need to change your goalkeeper, and if a goalkeeper's having a really tough time, then absolutely bring them out and put somebody else in. But what you can sometimes find is that when it almost becomes one mistake and you're out, you get this uncertainty that goalkeepers are playing with. And, people will always argue that it happens in other positions, and that's true, but I do think that goalkeeping is different given that consistency is such an important part of a goalkeeper's game, and also consistency when it comes to a team. You look at a lot of the best teams, they will have that triangle, those two centre-backs and the goalkeeper will be consistent throughout much of the season, depending on formation, of course. But you will often find that certainly when it comes to defence and goalkeeper, it's not about flair, it's not about changing things up. It's more just a case of having those consistent performers who are going to keep it solid and allow you something to build on.
Okay, Adam Davies didn't get the nod in the international break for Wales, but kept his place for Stoke. A clean sheet against Bristol City. One shot on target for the Robins, saved well by Davies from Antoine Semenya.
Yeah, good save. I think more for Adam Davies, it's more a case of just his presence. You know, the number of clean sheets he's had now for Stoke is just ridiculous looking at his record. And the dude seemed to be a lot of games that you're talking about it that he hasn't had a lot to do. But I think that's the point, is that he is a fantastic communicator. Stoke fans adore him, and I think they adore him for the fact that he just makes everything look so uncomplicated. Really has a great presence. A shame for him that he didn't get a chance for Wales. I know we touched on the Wales predicament in our last show. It will be really interesting to see what happens if Adam Davies finishes the season well for Stoke, finishes it in the same vein, and Danny Ward and Wayne Hennessy don't play between now and then. But again, he's certainly given himself the best chance come the summer.
And a tale of two penalties at St Andrews as Birmingham beat Swansea City. Missing. Actually, no, I've got that completely wrong. And I'm going to be lambasted for the WhatsApp voice noter that we had in, actually. Lukas Jutkovic having a penalty saved by Freddie Woodman in the first half, but then Scott Hogan scoring right at the death past Freddie Woodman and giving him a bit as well, giving him a bit of lip after he scored.
Yeah, which there must have been something going on between them, because it seemed a bit harsh, to be honest. I didn't think that Freddie Woodman overly celebrated when he did make the save. But I was delighted to see the Freddie Woodman save that he did make, because we haven't seen too many penalty saves that have gone down the middle. You know, your classic cliche that you keep bringing up, that they cannot be saved. And we talk about the Troy Deeney penalties, etc. But this was a great example. If you stand still and you do react quickly in the way that he did, and he had to react so quickly, but it was a brilliant save. And it was very pleasing from a personal point of view, because we have seen so many penalties smashed down the middle and 90% plus are going in. And even when goalkeepers are standing still, often not able to react in time. So huge credit to Freddie Woodman for this one.
Should we hear the WhatsApp?
Let's do it.
Hello, it's Woody. You've read out a few of my tweets before. Thought you deserved to finally hear my voice. I want to talk about Freddie Woodman saving a penalty from Jukovic against Birmingham. Smashed one down the middle. Finally, a goalkeeper has stood up and managed to get a block in. Absolutely over the moon. Rich, I bet you are as well. What else I'll say? Andy Hinchcliffe, let's have a chat about that. It's a miss rather than a save. It's a miss rather than a save. Well, no, it's not. He saved it. He's made a block.
So that was Woody there watching that game live. Delighted, just like you, at the save from Freddie Woodman. But it seems I've just fallen foul of Andy Hinchcliffe there, saying the penalty was missed. It was not missed. It was brilliantly saved.
Yeah, it was indeed. It's an interesting comment that, and I'll be honest, I didn't see this live, but it is an interesting comment that he's more missed it than scored it. Yet, of course, the goalkeeper dives, which we do the majority of the time. We normally dive one way or the other, in which case that ball goes in, and then they're saying it's a great penalty. So you can't have it both ways.
Best of the rest from the EFL.
Please, Matthew.
Okay. Crewe Alexandra falling at home to Hull City, taking the lead initially. But when it was 0-0, Matt Ingram with a perfect pour to deny one of our favourites, Owen Dale.
Brilliant save, an important save as well in this one. To his left, did well to retreat to the line. Brilliant reaction to his left. Showed good power to get himself to his left. And it's again one of those which you see this often where it might hit your hand and go in the corner. But to manage to get the power to get it round the post, very, very good.
Very eventful day at the top of League One, in fact, because Hull bagged a very late winner there, as did Peterborough at Fleetwood. Johnson Clark-Harris with a free kick late on, but he had been denied earlier, hadn't he, by Alex Kent, who is in a fine run of form at the minute.
Yeah, it was brilliant save. Did well to engage. Good spread. He is playing very well. He's just signed a new contract, so congratulations to him, because I know there's a bit of an uncertainty as to what might happen with him this summer, but no, fully deserved, and no doubt he'll be number one there for some time to come.
Yep, and Thomas Holy with an eventful game in an Ipswich win over Bristol Rovers. Joey Barton, after the game here, convinced it was a red card. It was a classic case of what we saw a couple of weeks ago, and Barton referenced this, where Joe Day came out, I think it was on Chuksanike, in their draw with Charlton Athletic. Joe Day was dismissed. One of those classic ones. Ball over the top, bounce, striker goes for it, goalkeeper goes for it, goalkeeper doesn't win the header, striker wins the header, goalkeeper is then sent off. On this occasion, it was a similar scenario, but Thomas Holy only given a yellow card.
What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, my thoughts are purely that I would say it wasn't like the striker was bearing down on goal and there was cover from the Ipswich defenders. I think the header was more away from goal. I think it was more Barton being a bit annoyed at the fact they lost the game, but I don't think it was a red card in my opinion.
Okay, I agree with that.
Just going to go with that.
I'm just going to go with that, because I think these situations, I think I made my point before on Joe Day. I thought that was harsh from memory, because I think when it is a challenge like that, yes, I know there's no one behind you, but often, especially when the ball is in the air, there's normally defenders covering, or defenders will get back by the time the ball would be under control. So I just think there's so much uncertainty to give a straight red just seems very harsh.
Okay, Joe Murphy in for Tranmere, of course, because Scott Davies is out. A tough day at the office against Cheltenham. That long throw from from Bentosa resulted in 3 goals. I mean, it is such a weapon, isn't it? Just quickly on that, Joe Murphy didn't really have a bad game, to be fair, but it was just very difficult for that Tranmere defence to handle that long throw. I know we've spoken about it before, but it just seems to be causing more and more problems.
Yeah, it does interest me. I know certainly from a goalkeeping perspective, it is difficult to come for a long throw. The slightly different flight that you get on a throw than you might get on a corner. We talk a lot about the fact that if the ball oscillates, you can tend to read where exactly it's going to go and you might be able to come and claim it. Whereas, of course, with the throw, you don't get any spin on the ball. So to actually come and read it and claim it is that little bit more difficult. So it doesn't surprise me that we're seeing a lot of teams benefiting from this. Even in the Premier League, there are one or two teams that still do this. It's just the fact that it's not seen as being that pure, I guess. You know, so certainly top end of the Premier League, you won't see teams doing this that often. But of course, if you can pile men in the box and you can get a throw into the penalty spot, into the 6-yard box, tough for a keeper to come for, you only need for it to break. Percentages say that every now and then the ball will just break. And if that is a shot, it's such an easy way to get yourself into a dangerous area.
Not a problem for me whatsoever. They scored 3 goals from that long throw in the weekend, so you'll take it. And you mentioned the Premier League as well. Burnley's second goal was a long ball over the top from Ben Mee, a flick from Chris Wood, and a strike from Vidra. Goal. Easy. Go.
Sam Johnson just playing it through. Nice assist.
There you go.
The end.
Elsewhere in League 2, Jokel Andresen, another good performance to keep out Devante Rodney of Port Vale. However, Exeter not getting the win, but a good performance again from Andresen.
I think he's been really good since he's gone there. I've seen quite a bit of him now, and look, lovely shape, lovely size, moves well. I thought the two saves in particular, both similar in that they were above his head, but I thought different in terms of the distance. First one took up a very good position, reasonably deep, good set position, got up well to tip it over. But I thought the second one in particular, I thought was very good. That little bit closer in, and again, just looked very powerful as he sets to get back on himself to his left. Big left hand, very good save.
This one, to be fair, should have led from the previous conversation we were having, because there was a playing out from the back shambles at Field Mill in Mansfield's defeat to Leyton Orient. What was going on here?
Yeah, really strange one, this game. And just to touch on Aidan Stone, made a brilliant save from one of these situations. He did have a couple of tough moments himself looking to play out, although neither of them led to goals. But it was actually some really, really poor play at the back from Mansfield, which effectively led to 2 1-on-1s and 2 goals at the end of the day. So very frustrating if you're the manager seeing this. I'm sure that Nigel Clough would have been absolutely fuming at this, because just such simple goals to give away. You have to feel a bit for Aidan Stone.
James Belly Belshaw for Harrogate, playing against one of his old clubs, Walsall. Of course, spent a bit of his youth there. And a goalless draw for Harrogate in this one, thanks to James Belshaw. There was a funny moment early on in the game where he came out of his goal and was then tracking back to try and catch Josh Gordon. Just couldn't get there on that occasion. However, did make a series of fine saves thereafter, including a penalty stop.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. Sharp save to his left in particular that I really enjoyed in the first half. You mentioned the penalty save. Good save with his feet as well in the second half, where he came out, set himself well and made a quick reaction save with his feet. And I thought he was very good and no doubt a contender for Team of the Week.
Do we do a Team of the Week?
Well, we don't. But if we did, I mean, would he get it for us this week?
Possibly.
I think he's up there. I think, yeah, I'm going to give it to him.
Nice and easy. That's all it takes to get the Team of the Week.
The power of recency.
And let's talk penalties again, because Callum Burton saving from Cole Stockton in Cambridge's win over Morecambe. That was his second penalty in the space of a couple of weeks. And Laurie Walker as well, a penalty save from Luke Norris of Stevenage.
What I quite enjoyed about this was the second save that he made. So very good penalty save. Got himself up, closed down the angle, forced him wide, dropped back, and he was still on the angle, but it was in the save down at the near post. Like, how often do you see it when a goalkeeper makes the penalty save, maybe still a little bit elevated in that moment, not necessarily as focused as they might be, and maybe a goal goes in that could be saved, but certainly here he got up, and I thought what he did after the penalty save was excellent, and certainly making a big name for himself.
We do love a top-hand penalty save, don't we?
Oh, it's delicious, isn't it?
Just something about them. Okay, that's us, Richard. Just to finish, a quick question for you.
Because
it's been a theme of recent weeks. There is only one team in English football that remains unbeaten at home this season. Who is it?
One team.
It's a League Two team, I should say, to give you a clue.
Unbeaten at home this season. I am going to say You'd think it'd be one of the obvious ones. So I'm going to have to say Cheltenham.
Incorrect, I'm afraid. I'll give you one more guess.
Okay, if it's not Cheltenham, then it would have to be Bolton.
Close, but no cigar. Salford.
Are they really?
Mm.
There you go. A fascinating fact to finish the podcast.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
We will be back for a more polished podcast on Thursday morning. This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast between the Sticks Keepers.
Wait.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.